What a great day. We're there. We're on the eve of a new year. In a new year, there should be new things. Why? Because we're new people. Amen? We are new people in Christ, and we should always look for new things. Why? Because the God we serve makes all things new. Does everybody understand? We don't go backwards. All right? So whatever you missed last year, whatever you didn't do, whatever you thought you shouldn't have did, all right, it's over with. It's over with. It's done with. Whether you did it or didn't do it, let's look forward to what God has for us. God got big things planned for us as a people, as a ministry, as a body of believers, as a family, as a team. All right? That's what it's all about. God is about team. Amen? The Godhead. You cannot separate the Godhead. There's Father, there's Son, and there's Holy Spirit. You cannot separate it. God was always about team. God created Adam. Why? Because he wanted somebody to start a team. God wanted a relationship. And then he gave him a woman, Eve. Why? So that they could start a family, so that they could start a team, so that they could produce, that they could multiply people, because we're created in the image and likeness of God. So the world should see the image and likeness of God in each and every one of us. Amen? Because that's what the team is all about. It's about being a part of the team and about doing what God has called us to do. Amen? Because Wendy was talking about value, and you know that God values people more than anything of this earth. He walks on gold. We get all into everything about how much bling and stuff we got, how many rings we got and all that stuff. And God has said the streets of heaven are paved with gold. God's walking on it. Ain't no big deal to him. I walk on that. What you all getting excited about? That's what I paved my streets with. And here you are killing each other over that. See, we got to get our perspective right. I'm in this place, and this all happened because me and him were just talking. We always talk. I thank God for my brother, my friend. He's truly my brother from another mother. We always joke with each other. But me and Josh, you know, ever since I came here in 09, all right, my wife, for all these who don't know me, my wife and I had a ministry in the inner city. They were having a revival here, and it was at the time, Bishop Cordell, who called me and said, "Brother, have you been out there?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And I said, "I'll get out there because I know that man. I know his authority. And if he told me I should be here, I came out here. And now look what God has done these 9 years, you know, and knitted our hearts together and, you know, do things because I truly believe. See, sometimes we don't look at ourselves, I believe, how God sees us, how powerful we are, how intricate we are in society, in the world, and everything else. Because I truly believe in my heart, and he truly believes in his heart, that we are the ones that are going to be the cure for racism and all that other foolishness that other people feed into. Why not Kingston? Why not Kingsfire be the church that shows that all the nations of the world are going to be before God anyway? But why not it be demonstrated here before Christ comes back? And it takes a family, it takes a team that has an understanding of love that was poured in my heart, that was poured into your heart, that's demonstrated every day of the week. No matter what the news says, no matter what people says, no matter what groups say, what did God say? That we are to love one another as I have loved you. Amen? And that's what being on a team is all about. That's what, you know, being team is all about. God always desired a team. God always had men of God who had a team around him. David had his mighty men of valor around him to help him. Gideon, when he went to go fight the Midianites, God told him, "Listen, guy, you got too many." See, it ain't about the numbers. It's about being in the will and in the vein of God for what he is trying to do in your life, but most of all, what he's trying to do in this Hudson Valley. Amen? And you are all part of it. Nobody's excluded from this. Amen? Nobody's excluded. So let's forget about what we didn't do. Let's forget about the mistakes that we made, because we're going to continue to make mistakes. All right? But I'd rather make a mistake in God than not do anything. Amen? I'd rather make a mistake trying than to sit back. And the scripture I wanted to talk to us from is it's found in Romans 12, starting in verse 3, and we'll go down to, verse 11. Are you with me? Get your phones, get your Bibles, get whatever you do. Let us just pray. Eternal Father and our God, I just pray right now, oh God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. Thank you, oh God, that you are so gracious. It's because of your grace and because of your mercy that we stand where we are right now, dear God, on the brink of another new year. So, Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that they'd hear all of you and none of me, that they may see all of you and none of me. Use me for your glory. Speak to your people's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Buckle your seatbelts up. But anyway, Paul is writing to the church of Rome. Paul had such a great, what I like about Paul when you read the Gospels, the letters to the churches, Paul had such a great love for the church. He was a true father of the faith. And he had such a great love for the church. And he's writing to the church that is in Rome. And he starts out and he's talking about, this is about team. And he's talking about spiritual gifts. Serve God with your spiritual gifts. He says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each of you a measure of faith. Just let me stop right there. Paul is saying, like Wendy was saying, take a clear assessment of your life. Take a clear assessment of who you are, what you are in Christ. That you don't get high-minded, because God has given us all a measure of faith in order for us to operate in. But we know that we don't stay in the place where we first came into the kingdom. You go from faith to glory, which means that you grow each and every day. You grow each and every year of your life. You should not be the same person that you was last year. You should not be the same person that you was last month. But there should be a progressive growth in your life each and every day of your life. So he's talking about being soberly. Don't be high-minded, but don't look down on yourself either where you don't do nothing at all. Okay? He's dealing with two issues here in one sentence. Don't be way up here thinking you're all that in a bag of chips. All right? But don't look down on yourself where you think that I cannot participate. I can't be like the pastors. I can't be like the evangelists. I can't be. You don't have to be. Just be who God created you to be and be part of the body, and that is going to be enough. Be part of the team. I always tell people, because Paul's using this analogy, okay, as the church compared to the human body. And if you look at your body, there's parts of your body that doesn't do the same thing that other parts of your body do. All right, so he goes on to say that for as we are many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. All right? We're all members of King's Fire Church, but all of us don't function in the same capacity. Not that we can't, but at this time we do not. All right? Then he goes on to say, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members one another. We are individual people that are connected to one body. The same way your hand is connected to your body, to your arm, okay? Your eyes is connected to your head, so on and so forth. There is individually in the body of Christ, but when we come together, things happen. Amen? Having then different gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. All right? So whatever God has given you, then use it. Hey, use it. I wasn't always a preacher. All right? I told you before. I knew I was supposed to preach in 1998. I ran for 2 years. I wasn't going to do it. I was deacon in church. God kept on showing me the pulpit. I said, I ain't doing that. Okay? I ran from God for 2 years until he slam dunked me in the Superdome in New Orleans in front of about 35,000 to 50,000 people. Then my running was over. All right? So I don't know if God's been speaking to your heart. Don't let it be a hostile takeover. God has a sense of humor where, like I said, he, this place was packed. It was three rows like this. It had to be like 30 in this row, 30 in that row, 30. And I was sitting about 8 seats back in the middle. And this guy was preaching this sermon. I'll never forget this as long as I live. His name was George Gibson from Philadelphia. He was preaching this sermon about betrayal. He was talking about Joseph, Samson, and Jesus. And before he could get done, I was going, excuse me, and I was coming out telling people, excuse me, and I dove in front of that altar and wept like a baby. But like I was saying, that the measure of gift, because I always was a preacher, and then I understood, I surrendered and everything, and I grew into what you see now. All right? And that's what it's all about. You all have a measure of faith that you are what God created you to be. And you have the ability to touch people's lives. But you just got to, you know what I mean, attach yourself to the team. What part is it? And then find out what that part is and grow into what God has for your life. So Paul goes on to say, gifts that differ. Give us, he said, let them use them. If you prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or in ministry, let us use that in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen? But let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. A word arbor means hate. And cling to what is good. Be kind and affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor and giving in preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. There he goes again. I don't want you to fall asleep just because you're comparing yourself to Pastor Don, and I can never do that. Yes, you can. You can do it at the capacity that God has given to you where you are right now. And the more you exercise the gift, it's just like going to the gym. The more you exercise your muscles, they wake up first. And then they start responding, and then there's growth. It's the same thing with your spiritual life. The more you start speaking the word, prophecy means to proclaim. The more you start speaking the word over people's lives, things happen. Amen? But you got to become part of the team. God, you are part of God's team. You are part of the body. All right? The same sap that's running through this little finger is not the same thing that's running through this leg. I'd look pretty weird, right, if my finger was as big as my leg, right? So you have to understand that God has proportioned you in the right place. God has put you in the right place, in a body of believers, all right? That mountain to me is like the Super Bowl. I just don't want to be in the Super Bowl. I want to win the game. You understand what I mean? I want to win. Who wants to go to the Super Bowl and lose, all right? God has given us something. Yes, it seems bigger than us, all right? But our faith is what's going to do it. Everything we do is done by faith. We have a measure of faith. You just heard about the giving. We have people that give. That's going to spark more giving. Why? By faith. Why? Because we can do this. Amen? But it's going to take a team. It's going to take your part, my part, her part, his part, everybody working together in unison, loving one another. And there is going to be times that we're going to get on each other's nerves. All right? Because John Mark got on Paul's nerves. All right? Paul said he can't go with me no more. That's when he took off with Silas. But then again, when he was in prison, he said, bring John Mark to me because he's useful to me in ministry. Okay? You have to understand your power and your potential. Please look at yourself as God sees you. Somebody that is strong. Somebody that can change other people's lives. Let me just show you something in the book of Corinthians. All right? 1 Corinthians. Since this is on my heart, okay? I don't have no notes. I'm just going to say what's on my heart. But of him, you are in Christ. Speaking, all right? Paul speaking to the church in Corinthians. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what Jesus won for you, the wisdom of God. And now for you being a part of the body of Christ, there's no longer for you to say, I don't understand how this works. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give liberally without reproach, and it will be given to you. You need wisdom for a situation, circumstance right now in your life? You're part of the body of Christ. You need to ask God. Why? Because Jesus won that for you. Jesus won that for you. That is yours. He says that you are in Christ. Wisdom from God, and you are righteousness, all right? Because it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him who knew no sin, right? To become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Don't ever let nobody tell you that you are not righteous before God, that you don't have a right standing before God, that you don't have a right to go before the throne and have your prayers answered. Yes, you do. Through the blood of Jesus, you have a right to have your prayers answered. Through the blood of Jesus, you have a right for the Holy Spirit to be operating in your life. You have a right. Don't let nobody take your right away from you. Grow in what God has given you, amen? So he has said, and not only that, that you are sanctification and redemption. Sanctification, being separated from the world. That's who you are. You have to learn to walk in it. Start separating yourself from the things that do not pertain to God and cling on to the things that do pertain to God. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about this year, about the wisdom of God, you know, me and Josh talked about this. I was working at Kingston High School, and I was working with this guy, right? And we became partners. We were doing sheetrock and stuff. So after about a couple weeks, he says to me, he says, you know, he says, I feel like just grabbing my tools and running. He said, because that's what I do. I just quit. I do this and I do that. And I looked him right in the face. And this guy's about 6'4", about 260 pounds. And I looked him right in the face. I said, listen, let me tell you something right now. Okay? I said, you're my partner. All right? Because you're talking about team. You understand? See, once you understand team, anybody that's around him, you got to make them understand. Husbands, you are the head of your household. You are the one that cast the vision for your family. You are the one, all right, that cast the vision to your family, what God has given to you. You talk to your wife. You talk to your children. Everything about God is in order. And the reason why a lot of households are out of order is because, men, you don't know who you are. You don't know who she is, who God put next to you to help you to do what he created you to do, and your kids and everybody else that's going to help everything flow. Amen? Because that's what a team does. A team operates in order. You ain't going to the Super Bowl unless you start practicing in June, all right, for February. So it takes practice to get to the place. So anybody that's around me, I make them understand who I am. I come from a team of pastors, all right? I got team in my house, all right? And I understand my daughter and my wife are strong women because I don't want weakness around me. You understand? Because I understand who I am. So I said to this guy, I said, listen, let me tell you something, man. You're working with me right now, okay? And I said, I show up at work every day. And I said, you've been working with me for 2 weeks, and you see how I rock and roll. I'm never late. I don't take more lunch than I'm supposed to. I don't take more break than I'm supposed to. I said, and I do my job. I said, listen, you go tell the boss you want to quit right now. But if you plan to stay on the team with me, you're going to show up every day. You're going to have a good attitude and do what has to be done. He just looked at me like, who the heck is this guy? Right? So as time went on, things were happening. And the guy who was running the job gave him the blueprint, all right, of the different sheetrock that had on the different walls that had to be there. So every day I kept on saying to him, you the man. You the man. He's like, no, I ain't the man. You the man. Yeah. You the man. No, I ain't. No, I ain't. And then we used to look out the window, and the bosses used to pull up in their Silverados trucks. I just said, look at that. I said, that's your truck. I said, that's your truck, man. You're going to put Big C on the top of it. And he used to just go like that to me. But you know what? He worked with me for about 8 months. And I haven't seen him since last year around this time. But my buddy called me and said, hey, listen. He said, you know that guy that you were working with? He said, he is now running work. He is now a foreman. He has never missed a day since he started with me. And then my buddy seen his father, okay, up to Ulster County, because we have to do picket duty. We have to do one physical picket duty. Then we could do political stuff for the other one. He ran into his father, and he said to him, he said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, I don't know who that guy Donald Mapes is. He said, but you tell him for me that that was the best thing that ever happened to my son. Working at Kingston High School. He said, because now he goes to work every day. And he says, you know what? He said, I don't even know who my son is. He's a different person. And I said that to say this is because sometimes we don't see how powerful we are. We don't see that the wisdom, because it was only God that made me stand up to this giant. Right? Because I don't carry an ice pick no more, so I can't, you know. Because I'm saved. You understand what I'm saying? So it's only the wisdom of God. But you know what? I texted him and I said, listen, I said, I hear that you're doing great things. I said, I knew that you always had it in you. I said, keep doing what you're doing. He texted me back and he said, you know what? He said, I want to thank you. He said, you came into my life at a very difficult time. He said, but your kindness and your patience is what got me over the hump. And I say that to say this because, see, what we do is like Paul is saying, you play yourself down and you think just because you ain't a pastor, you don't have a title to your name, that you don't have nothing in your going on attached to you. You are attached to Christ. There are broken people around you every day of your life, and all you got to do is open up your mouth and make people care and prophesy over their life what they're going to be. You know what the last thing he said? And I'm going to get that Silverado truck. 1 year. 1 year of me opening up my mouth and challenging him not to give up. Because you're around me, you ain't going to do that. Because I know there's better inside of you. Because that's what the body's all about. That's what team is all about. That's when one of your sisters or brothers want to give up and quit and cave in and walk out the church. It's your responsibility to say, no, you're not going to do that. God got a purpose for you, a greater purpose. He never said it was going to be easy. He never said there wasn't going to be challenges. He never said there wasn't going to be obstacles. But you could do this. Amen? You can do this. All of us can do this. Why? Because we are a part of the body of Christ. And if we show love, Jesus said that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that we love one another, in spite of one another. That's what love does. Love challenges. That's why we challenge you, because we love you. That's why we do discipleship classes. Start next week, as a matter of fact, now that we're on that subject, that we're going to have discipleship classes. Why? Because we want to empower you. We want to empower you to live. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. Listen to what Paul says here in Ephesians 4. All right? As far as what the church is concerned. Because remember, Paul is comparing the church to your body. And I thank God for this church, because what the public sees, okay? And like we see people, you can only see my face, you can see my hands, you can see my feet, you can see all the, my outer extremities. What goes on inside. All right? And for a lot of you, there's going to be things that's going to go on inside that's going to allow the world to see us in the parade, that's going to allow the world to hear Josh on a radio station. But there's a whole bunch of things that go on. All right? So don't limit yourself just because people can't see me. All right? Get over yourself. You got a job to do. Amen? You got a job to do. We all have a job to do. But I like what Paul says here in this fourth chapter of Ephesians 4. He says here in this 11th verse, he said, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is the saints? You are the saints. All right? You ain't got to wait till you die and somebody says they should put a stained glass little window in the church for you. That don't make you a saint. Okay? The fact that you live a Christian life is what makes you a saint. Every time Paul addressed the church, he said to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Thessalonica, to the saints here, to the saints there. But our job as pastors, preachers, and teachers, I was talking about that discipleship thing, is to equip you for the work of the ministry. There is work. Ministry is work. Salvation is free. Okay? But there is work when it comes to the ministry. And it's our job as the elders of the church to equip each and every one of you. My buddy Ernie, we grew up together. He was in the Marines. He understands. They equipped him. How many other people was in the branch of service? They equipped you, right? They equipped you to do exactly what they trained you to do. They put M16s in people's hands. You better equip them or they'd be shooting you, right? But the church is the same way. You have to understand you're part of the body of Christ. You are being equipped to do the works of ministry. But Paul goes on from there. He says, until we all come into the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the fullness of the stature and the fullness of Christ. I don't care where you began. I don't care if you were 5 years old. I don't care if you were 50 years old when you first came to Christ. The thing of it is that that little measure that you got, God wants to go to the fullness in the measure of stature of Christ. The fullness, not an empty glass, not a half glass, but a full glass. And that's on you. You have to have the desire to grow. You have the desire to put yourself in a place where you can hear. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing only by the word of God. So a lot of people been through the discovery crash. Maybe you need to go through it again because you didn't get it the first time. Because I never forget my pastor, my first pastor, he always used to say that the Sunday school was the major training arm of the church. He said that every Sunday until one day that thing hit me. And I just sat in my seat and I said, Sunday school is the major training arm of the church. Then I got to be there. And from that day forward, I was in Sunday school. Every week, I was in Sunday school until I became a teacher in the Sunday school. And after that, I became the assistant superintendent of the Sunday school. All right? Because we go from faith to faith. The measure that I understood, my measure of faith that I understood, that I got to be in place, I got to be in position in order for me to be trained. Amen? And that's what you have to do. You have to be in place. You have to have a desire to go to life group. You have to have a desire to show up. You have to have a desire. We have these special meetings and Leon and everybody else coming to here. Why? That you may grow. Because listen what he says here. It ain't over. That we should no longer be like children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of who? Men. Men are always going to deceive you and trick you in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love that you may grow up, that you may grow up into all things, who is the head of the church, for whom the whole body, Jesus' body, is being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective work by which every part, does it share causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love? Where every part who is sitting in these seats, when every part does your share, whatever it may be, whatever your share may be, maybe it's prophesying, maybe it's teaching, maybe it's giving, maybe it's being cheerful, showing mercy, maybe it's showing up at the hospital, maybe it's going over to the nursing home and just reading scripture to the old people. Whatever it is that you do, you have a part to play. You understand that? God is saying it's time for the body of Christ to grow up into the fullness, into the measure, the stature of Christ. Why? Because we're surrounded by a world that's full of darkness. We're surrounded by the world that's dying day in and day out. And the only thing the medical profession could do is give more opiates. That's their answer. But that's not God's answer. God's answer is his body. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouth. You are his eyes. You are his ears. You are everything that Jesus was on this earth right now. Jesus was the one that opened up this door. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't just come to forgive you of your sins and just have you a place in heaven and we just sit here and do nothing. It was after the resurrection, his disciples ran into him. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something, all of you, right now. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on this earth. And then he commissioned them and he said, what? Now go. Now go and make disciples. See, the problem with the modern day church, we got this thing wrong. Because there's nowhere in this Bible where you see that God said, go make denominations. Don't go make Baptists. The only Baptist in here was John. They chopped his head off. All right, so that's the end of that one. But God never said, go make denominations, go make associations, go make this and go make that. We take up all of your time and you forget about what you're really supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be making disciples. He said, go forth into all nations and make disciples. teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you. But how are you going to teach somebody if you have not been taught yourself? How are you going to speak the words of life into a dying worker and change, transform his life, the Holy Spirit transform his life, if you have not been taught? Or if the Spirit of God does not live inside of you? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I'm with you until the end of this age. God never called us to do this by ourselves. God never called any one of you that's sitting in this seat to do this by yourself. You need to hook up with somebody. Because when he first sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. Find somebody. Get with somebody. Get with somebody that you're familiar with. Get somebody that is your personality trait or whatever. Everybody can't roll together. I don't take other people with me. I remember one time we was for them, put me the head of the men's ministry. I went to one meeting. I said, this ain't working for me. The next meeting is going to be out here where the drug dealers are, the gangbangers, and everybody else. That's when Van Buren Street and all that stuff used to be boarded up and everything, and the gangs and everything. We went out there the next meeting, and we had a group, and we started singing, and we started praying. And one night we were getting ready to leave. And I said, listen, I had the Bloods over here and I had the Crips over here. And I said, here's how this is going to go. You done heard us sing. You done heard us talk about the Lord. I said, and now we're going to pray. We started praying. And when I opened my eyes, the Bloods was in here holding hands with us. And the Crips was over here holding hands with us. The gangs that go after other and kill each other seen a light that they never seen before and they wanted to touch it. And that's what this world needs now, church. That's what this world needs now, Kingsfire. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, make a New Year's resolution that I want to be a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. That I want to be the one that goes into these nations, changing people, teaching them to observe the things that God has taught me. And I'm not going to fear, and I'm not going to doubt, because he promised me, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of this age. He said, I'm with you. So it doesn't matter what you're up against. Is it going to be criticism? Yes, there is. They always criticize the church. They always criticize. But Jesus said, the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. They're never going to prevail against us. I don't care if it's the government. I don't care who it is. You can write all the laws you want. You ain't gonna stop us. You can't stop us. You can't touch this. MC Hammer can't touch this, right? That's the attitude that we have to have. If we're gonna take this city, we are gonna take this city. Not no if. We are gonna take this city for the glory of God. But it takes you reading this word and understand that I am connected to the body. I have a part. And tonight when you go home and pray, all you got to do is say, Lord, show me my part, Lord. Show me my part, God. I want to be part of what you're doing here in this Hudson Valley. Because you understand one thing? Them 12 disciples never knew. They never knew the impact that they made in the world. Do you realize 12 men? There are millions of believers because of them 12 men. Millions of believers. Because 12 guys said yes to Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. Because I see that you value people more than that you value anything else. And as the Church of the Living God, that's what we have to do. We have to look and see that people are more important than anything else. Amen? But it's up to you tonight. Don't wait till the ball drop. The ball's already dropped, all right? The ball's already dropped. It's up to you to pick it up. The ball is in your court. So it's up to you to pick up the ball, to either run with it, dribble it, kick it, whatever you're going to do with the ball. But God is calling his church to rise in a place, to the place of authority, the place that Jesus ordained to give us when he went to that cross. All power in heaven and on earth, it all belongs to us. Do you realize that? You got all power. There's nothing that could stop you. All of it, it's just embracing it. Embrace it, embrace it, embrace the cross again. If the fire has died out a little bit, then light it back up. Embrace the cross again. Go look at the Passion of Christ again to see how he was whipped, bleeding. It's a miracle he even made it through that, let alone the cross. Go look at the Passion of Christ again to rekindle the fire that he did that just for me, and he did not have to. See, that's what keeps my fire stroked. Every time I think about that cross, whatever I have to endure, God, if you endured that for me, I can endure anything that's going on in this life. Because it ain't always going to be like this. We win this thing. You understand what I mean? We won the Super Bowl, baby. Jesus is our quarterback, and we won the Super Bowl. Amen? Come on, let us rise to our feet. Come on, give them praise. Come on, give them praise. Because winners scream, winners holler, winners raise their hand in victory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!